Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Christine. I'll be reading MRT for Friday, August 11th, 2023. Weather Service, more heat records set in Midland. National Weather Service, record for most 105-degree day in a year set after 107-degree day by Stuart Doreen, staff writer. A high temperature of 107 degrees on Thursday set a record for August 10th in Midland, according to the National Weather Service. And the 107-degree mark also established 2023 as the year with the most high temperatures of 105 degrees or warmer in Midland's history. The National Weather Service reported Thursday was the 19th day this year that the temperature reached or exceeded 105 degrees, hitting the record set in 2011. The National Weather Service also reported that Midland is likely in store for at least one more as the high temperature on Friday is expected to reach 107. Thursday's report, Thursday's high 107 degrees, typical high for August 10th, 96 degrees. Thursday's low 82 degrees, typical low for August 10th, 73 degrees. Previous record high for August 10th, 106, set in 2003. Consecutive 100 degree days, 8. Last 3 days, Tuesday, 102 degrees, Wednesday, 107 degrees, a record, Thursday, 107 degrees, a record, next 3 days, Friday, 107 degrees, Saturday, 104 degrees, Sunday, 102 degrees. Source, National Weather Service. Concerns about critical theory-driven content. Board member, MISD administration disagree about whether district was honest about curriculum. By Stuart Doreen, staff writer. Midland ISD board member Brandon Hodges stated his concerns Thursday about curriculum the district is using, content that he states supports critical theory-driven content and practices. Speaking to radio station KWEL, Hodges was critical of the district for either lying or not doing its due diligence. In its descriptions of the Amplify curriculum during a June board meeting, evidence shows that Amplify proudly supports critical theory-driven content and practice, embedding race and gender equity principles into human and fantasy characters and in storylines contrary to Texas law, Hodges said. The representative of District 5, generally North and Northeast Midland, stated that when critical race theory, or CRT, was brought up as a campaign issue in 2022, candidates across the board spoke out against the promotion of CRT in Midland ISD schools. Midland ISD promoted its use of Amplify Texas as its main reading curriculum resource. In a press release provided earlier this week, Midland ISD stated that Amplify Texas is approved by the Texas Education Agency as a high-quality instructional material that is designed to meet 100% of the Texas essential knowledge and skills. Amplify Texas was used in a pilot program at Alamo Junior High and several elementary schools in the 2022-23 school year, MISD wrote. And Midland ISD on Thursday offered the following. Allegations have been levied that the district was dishonest when recommending this implementation of Amplify Texas, and we regret that anyone would feel this way. The district abides by state law, and critical race theory is not taught in our classrooms. Amplify Texas is a state-vetted and approved curriculum resource that the Texas Education Agency has endorsed as a high-quality instructional material. Additionally, Amplify Texas is a Texas Education Agency Open Educational Resource, or OER, that the state of Texas provides access to. We believe that we were thorough when reviewing Amplify Texas by vetting several pieces and consulting with similar districts, our regional service center, and TEA. As with all curriculum resources, there are pieces that our district will not utilize, and we are committed to reading each selection carefully and utilizing a team to determine if the piece is fit for the Midland ISD community. Midland ISD Board President Tommy Bishop offered the following. It was brought to the board's attention that controversial content was found in Amplified Texas material. MISD's administration team has been notified and is working to address this. I don't think the district turned a blind eye to this when recommending the use of this curriculum, and I believe the MISD administration wants the best for all MISD students and teachers. We will work through this and continue educating our future. Hodges said the use of critical theory-driven content and practices will lead to discipline issues because it's teaching students to look at each other as identity groups instead of as individuals. He added, there is no doubt that we are teaching very controversial issues to our elementary school kids when their brain development is not at a level to where they're able to introduce to very complex ideologies. And these very complex topics and subject matter to be able to think about it in the way that it needs to be. There are only 48% of our kids that can read at grade level at some campuses, Hodges said, so I think that would be focusing on reading and teaching reading targets. Hodges added the district should focus on being efficient and effective with instructional time if we are willing to ask taxpayers for hundreds of millions of dollars for reconfiguration of the school structure. The least the district can do is provide curriculum that focus on using instructional time effectively and efficiently right now, Hodges wrote. Cowboy Prime and Ally Village expanding by Morgan Taylor Thomas, staff writer. Cowboy Prime will expand its restaurant according to a public state licensing and regulation report. The $1.3 million privately funded alteration will include a 4,750 square foot addition, which is 100 square feet larger than the restaurant neighbor Cork and Pig. The add-on also will earn itself a new suite number. As of now, the start date is set for September 9th and the completion date is January 31st, 2024. Windows around the restaurant are currently boarded up. However, Cowboy Prime is still open for business. MISD shows 226 student increase compared to first day in 2022 by Stuart Doreen, staff writer. Midland ISD reported 25,595 students attended school on the first official first day for most schools. The total was 226 more students than the first day of school last year, according to the district, which also stated that students who arrive after 10 a.m. were not included in the count and that Midland College Pre-K and Early College High School start next week. We projected opening day enrollment to be 28,125 students, and we opened our doors today with an enrollment of 25,595 students, MISD reported. Midland ISD reported an official student population of 27,321 last year and expects the 2023-24 number to increase to 28,356 when the official number is determined later this school year. Odessan indicted for allegedly attempting to smuggle meth by Mercedes Cordero, staff writer. An Odessa man was indicted Thursday by a federal grand jury in Pecos for importation and possession with intent to deliver methamphetamine, according to the Department of Justice. According to the court documents, Angel Vargas Valdivia, 23, attempted to enter the United States on August 8th from Mexico through the Presidio port of entry. During a Customs and Border Protection inspection, officers noticed the rear quarter panels of Valdivia's vehicle were tampered with and abnormally heavy vehicle doors. X-ray imaging revealed abnormalities within the vehicle's quarter panels, side doors, rear cargo door, trunk, and roof. Further inspection revealed 154 bundles weighing approximately 72.2 kilograms, according to the court documents. A crystal-like substance extracted from the bundles tested positive for the properties of methamphetamine. Vargas Valdivia made his initial court appearance Thursday. If convicted, he faces a penalty of 10 years to life in prison. Texas oil man wants to dam a river to create a giant pool by Guillermo Molero, Bloomberg. Greg Garland would really like a swimming pool, but not just any old swimming pool. If the chairman and former chief executive of Phillips 66 has his way, a stretch of the South Llano River on his ranch 150 miles west of Austin would be dammed for recreational purposes that he's hoping will back enough water to create a private 3.9 million gallon swimming hole. That amount of water would fill up the capital city's historic deep eddy pool six times over. Local residents and environmental groups are not having it. They say Garland's plan, submitted through an LLC he controls, threatens to deplete the supply of drinking water and damage the environmentally sensitive Clearwater River. That's a popular destination for kayakers, anglers, and swimmers. Linda Fawcett, president of the Llano River Watershed Alliance, said Garland's plans could jeopardize the livelihoods of locals who depend on tourism and the area's ecosystem. "It's a horrible idea," she said. "This is for so many reasons wrong." Opponents say proposed limits on how much water could be retained under drought conditions don't go far enough, and they plan to air their concerns at the public meeting Thursday hosted by the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality, which is responsible for issuing a permit. Phillips 66 press office declined to comment or make its chairman available for questions. Efforts to reach Garland by phone and email were not successful. The plan to limit water flow on the South Llano seems particularly egregious to opponents at Texas Sufferers. Through record heat waves and a lack of rainfall that has left more than half the state at least moderate drought conditions, the river is flowing at about 30 cubic feet per second at a USGS monitoring site in Junction, Texas, about 40% below its historic median. The TCEQ's members are appointed by Texas Governor Greg Abbott. Garland has donated $10,000 to his campaign funds since 2021. Reflection Ministries CEO discusses Sound of Freedom. Lisa Bounds, Permian Basin as Hub for Human Trafficking, by Ben Schaefer, staff writer. The film, Sound of Freedom, has been one of 2023's biggest sleeper hits. The anti-human trafficking action film, with its $14.5 million budget, has grossed $166 million in revenue since its release on July 4th. More important than financial gain, the movie has reinvigorated the human trafficking conversation nationally and worldwide. The film centers around a former U.S. government agent named Tim Ballard who travels to Colombia to rescue trafficked children. It depicts the ways in which children can be taken, sold, and purchased for sex and labor in worldwide network of trafficking. According to the International Labor Organization, human trafficking is a $150 billion industry. Lisa Bounds, chief executive officer and founder of Reflection Ministries, said the film did well to accurately depict the human trafficking trade. Reflection Ministries is a Midland-based nonprofit that takes in sex trafficking victims and walks with them through their journey of healing as they re-enter into society. They did a great job on really highlighting what it looks like on abduction, grooming, and the vulnerabilities of what it looks like for families, Bounds said about the film. Bounds also said more women and men will be more vigilant and observant of their surroundings as it relates to human trafficking because of the film. Either we're too busy or we don't understand what trafficking looks like or exploitation looks like. Bounds said it's not in our day-to-day wheelhouse, so we really don't pay attention to the signs that are right in front of us. Common in a highly politicized modern culture, the film has split audiences and the national media. One example can be seen in a story about the film written by The Nation magazine titled Sound of Freedom. It is QAnon Fever Dream, with the subheading, "The third biggest movie of the summer is an action thriller about child sex trafficking that eagerly caters to right-wing paranoia." The story reads, "It's easy to see how this didactic vision of a demonic global network of powerful child predators keys directly into QAnon folklore, and how the ironclad moral certainty of Ballard and his allies reflects back the deliriums of apocalyptic redemption now convulsing the conspiracy-minded American right." Bounds, once a trafficking victim herself, praised the film's accuracy, does not understand criticism of the film, and urges viewers to focus solely on the children in captivity and not personal agendas. "I really have a hard time morally that people have a hard time and don't want it to be seen," Bounds said. "Whether it's Democrat, Republican, anybody in between, it doesn't matter that what side you're on. The fact that we think or it's okay to violate and sell people from little people to teenagers to adults that we wouldn't want to raise awareness on that fact at all really bothers my heart." Bounds said that there are few reasons some powerful people or media entities do not want the film to be seen. Namely, the average American does not understand how prevalent human trafficking is domestically. "I think it's a very lucrative business, and if you are involved in it, the last thing you'd want is for someone to start asking questions," she said. Bounds said a popular culture that displays on "it's okay, whatever your sexual desire is, however you want it to do it, whoever you want it to do it with. Mentally, you can help fuel the human trafficking industry. I'm not talking about going on the dark web. I'm talking about you can buy people on Facebook and Craigslist. I can buy a bike on Craigslist, and I can buy a person. Bound shared the profile of approximately 70 to 75% of buyers, white men with a disposable income of $120,000 or more. She said human sex trafficking isn't an across-the-tracks operation facilitated by creeps in sleazy motels. In fact, Bound shared that the Permian Basin is considered a hub for human trafficking. Bound said the proximity to Interstates 10 and 20 makes it easier for victims to be transported. During a scene in Sound of Freedom, a character named Earl Buchanan purchases a young boy named Miguel from a human trafficking organization and transports him to Tijuana. At face value, the pair sitting next to each other in the airport and plane is a father-son duo that any traveler could sit down next to or bump shoulders with. Bounds shared advice on how to remain vigilant and observant. When you look at it and you go, that doesn't make sense, or that little person isn't able to speak for themselves or is very shy, someone else is always speaking for them, you just get a feeling there is some type of abuse or control over that person, she said. Bound said if someone were to become suspicious of a relationship between an adult and young person in a public scenario, to not confront those people directly but seek out law enforcement officials, reducing the risk of putting a trafficking victim in even more danger. Obituaries. Greg Folger, 7/10/1958 to 8/6/2023. Jerry Jerome Folger of Midland, Texas, passed away on August 6, 2023, after a brief illness. A rosary will be held on Sunday, August 13th at 6:30 p.m. in the Holy Family Chapel at St. Anne's Catholic Church in Midland, and a funeral mass will be held on Monday, August 14th, 2023 at 10 a.m. at St. Anne's Catholic Church. Danny Ray Wagner, 10/31/1958 to 8/7/2023. Danny Ray Wagner, age 67, of Midland, Texas, entered his heavenly home on Monday, August 7, 2023, celebrating this day on his daughter's birthday. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.mpwelch.com. Jacob Ringenbach, 11/13/2017 to 7/30/2023. Jacob Jake David Ringenbach was born in Midland, Texas on November 13, 2017 to Ryan and Rachel Ringenbach. Jacob passed away at the age of 5 at Children's Hospital of Georgia in Augusta on July 30, 2023. Jake lost his courageous and extensive health battle with brain cancer, but not without leaving his mark on the world. Funeral services for Jacob will be held at Golf Course Road Church of Christ on Saturday, August 12, 2023 at 11 a.m. In lieu of flowers, we ask that you make a donation to the following charities, foundations in the honor of Jacob: the Carson Leslie Foundation, carsonlesliefoundation.org, Heart of Gold, heartofgold.org, The Cure Starts Now, thecurestartsnow.org, or Brooks Blossoming Hope, or brooksblossoms.org. This is Christy, and I'm reading Odessa American, August 10th, 2023. MISD seeks nominations for Hall of Legends by Odessa American. Midland ISD is seeking nominations for induction into the MISD Hall of Legends. Every other year, MISD recognizes outstanding individuals and teams that have excelled in MISD athletics. Student athletes, coaches, teams, benefactors, and supporters have all been enshrined in the MISD Hall of Legends. Anyone who is interested in nominating an individual or team can do so by emailing their nomination along with pertinent information about their nominee to misd.athletics@midlandisd.net. Nominations will be accepted through September 1st. Board members want bullying accountability by Odessa American for August 10th, 2023. Ector County ISD board members question the district's bullying and reporting investigation process and how they are going to implement new state requirements during their August 8th workshop. Dowling Elementary School Principal Julie Marshall and Director of Administration Services Maribel Aranda spoke to the board. Trustees Delma Abalos and Don Miller, who served as Director of Administrative Services for 2 years, were skeptical of the number of reports of bullying, the number of actual bullying cases, and whether procedure was followed and consequences enforced. In 2022-2023, 229 incidents were reported compared to 238 in 2021-2022. In 2022-23, there were 31 confirmed cases of bullying after investigation, and in 2021-22, there were 37 confirmed cases after investigation. Aranda said even if they weren't confirmed bullying cases, it doesn't mean nothing was done. We have to make sure we address that as well, so we follow the code of conduct and assign the consequences, Aranda said. She added that they make sure they follow the process and contact the parents to let them know what happened, keep an eye on the situation to make sure nothing else occurs. Texas Education Code defines bullying as a signal, significant act, or a pattern of acts by one or more students directed at another student that exploits an imbalance of power and involves engaging in written or verbal expressions through electronic means or physical contact, Aranda said. It also defines cyberbullying as involving any electronic communication device, from cell phones to email and social media. Students or adults can report bullying anonymously through Crime Stoppers using forms available in a school's main office and on the ECISD website or in person to someone at the school. The forms are in English and Spanish, Aranda said. As soon as you get a report, you assess for immediate safety issues. After that, you notify the parents of both the alleged victim as well as the aggressor that a report has been submitted, Aranda said. We want to make sure both parties know what's going on because we're going to investigate. The administrator has 10 business days to investigate whether bullying took place. You contact the parents and notify them of the findings and assign consequences and intervention based on what you find. That could include disciplinary consequences, counseling referrals, schedule changes if needed, behavior contracts, stay-away agreements. Even when they are investigating, students may already have been separated. If there was bullying, Aranda said, campus transfers are an option too. If the student stays on campus, you monitor the effectiveness of the corrective action and touch base with the students to see how things are going. If anything else comes up, you address that. Maximum consequences for bullying could mean going to the alternative center or charges filed against a student. Marshall said if a student encourages a peer to commit suicide, that will mean expulsion. Aranda said most of the incidents are at middle school and the cause is typically social media. Someone putting something on Snapchat, for example, is easy to do that way because you're face-to-face, she added. Marshall said bullying for younger students is mostly name-calling. That's an education piece that counselors would deal with, but once they have access to phones and social media, a lot of times it comes from there, Marshall said. Aranda said the students will take a screenshot and bring to the administrators. She added that she usually has a police officer at student assembly at the beginning of the year, and they go over consequences for posting harmful things on social media and make sure the students know it's serious because you not only get in trouble with the principal, but the law. Marshall said every district has to develop a policy for reporting bullying, and that is already in place.
Hi, this is Leah, and I'm reading from the Odessa American for August 10th, 2023. Make mealtime a cinch with a simple, tasty salad by guest contributor. Family features. Weeknights, filled with after-school activities, social events, family commitments, and more, can make eating nutritious meals a daunting task. Turn to quick dinner ideas the entire family can enjoy with simple, better-for-you ingredients. This grilled chicken salad with goat cheese, fresh blueberries, and pecans from the recipe experts at Safeway and Albertsons includes fresh, flavorful, O-Organics ingredients to satisfy hunger after long days at school or in the office. Plus, simple preparation means it's ready in 20 minutes to make mealtime a breeze. Visit Safeway.com and Albertsons.com to discover more family recipes. Grilled chicken salad with goat cheese, fresh blueberries, and pecans. Recipe courtesy of Safeway and Albertsons. Total time, 20 minutes. Ingredients. 3/4 pound boneless, skinless, O-Organics chicken breast. 1/4 teaspoon salt, 1/8 teaspoon black pepper, 2 teaspoons O Organics extra virgin olive oil, 1 package or 5 ounces O Organics spring mix, 1 package, 6 ounces O Organics blueberries or desired berry, 1/4 cup O Organics pecan halves, 3 tablespoons O Organics olive oil, 1 tablespoon O Organics balsamic vinegar, 1/2 log, 4 ounces O Organics goat cheese. Directions. Pat chicken dry with paper towels and place on cutting board. Cut chicken in half horizontally to form thin cutlets. Season with salt and pepper on both sides. Preheat grill pan, outdoor grill, or skillet to medium-high heat. Once pan is hot, coat with oil. Add chicken to pan and grill, turning once until cooked through, 3 to 4 minutes per side. Wash and dry mixed greens, place in medium bowl. Wash and dry blueberries, add to bowl with mixed greens. Using clean cutting board, roughly chop pecans, add to bowl. Transfer cooked chicken to cutting board and cut into thin strips. In bowl, mix olive oil and balsamic vinegar to create dressing. Add chicken and dressing to salad bowl, toss to combine. To serve, divide salad between plates or bowls and crumble goat cheese over top.
Hello, this is Michael Todd, and I am continuing the Odessa American newspaper for Friday, August 11th, 2023. Lanes likely headed to Odessa Midland by Laura Dennis. If you love Southern fried chicken fingers and a positive work culture, you might just be what Lane's Chicken Fingers is looking for in the Permian Basin. The cult favorite was born and bred in 1994 in College Station by college students Mike Lane and Mike Garrett, is now operated out of Frisco by CEO Garrett Reed. Reed, in a phone interview this week, said he and a business partner took a love of good food and good vibes in the workplace and bought the restaurant in 2017 after pitching the idea of franchising it to its founders. He hopes to find someone local to Midland, Odessa to pick up a franchise, but said if he doesn't, several restaurant groups are interested in bringing the growing chicken empire to the area. Reed grew up in College Station and loved that Lane's Chicken Fingers started as a mom and pop and has added locations around Texas. He hopes to bring the chain across the state. There are also a few locations in other states, but Reed's focus is on getting his chicken all over the Lone Star State. Currently, they're in Dallas-Fort Worth, Allen, Frisco, Louisville, and Roanoke, as well as College Station in Houston. We're looking for franchisees. There is a lot of interest from different franchise groups. So far, all the growth has been with franchisers who are local to the communities. We have a lot of interest in the Odessa area from bigger groups that want a larger territory. But before we sign on with the larger group, we're making a push for someone locally to franchise. Reed says it's a big deal for Lane's to try for that local connection. Like in Cheers, where everybody knows your name, we hope it will be a local operator in the next year. If not, Reed said Lane's will hit West Texas through a larger operator. Part of the appeal of the Lane's group, Reed said, is the positive culture and grooming employees to move up and on to bigger and better things. I'm a small town guy and picky about who we partner with, and the culture is so important, and you have to love food in our culture. He said a family atmosphere with a laid-back culture is the key. Every DFW manager was an hourly employee. We love to promote from within and provide opportunities. Reed said the culture started with the founders, including one from Georgia who wanted a fried chicken place. They started with chicken fingers, toast, and coleslaw, and the menu grew from there. They were laid back with that college culture. He said the original recipe the duo started with is still used, and that the secret sauce is indeed secret, with 9 or 10 seasonings, and only about 3 people know who they are, what they are. Reed said the appeal of the chicken fingers is like eating homemade fried chicken. It doesn't need a sauce. We have sauces, but it doesn't need it. Our chicken tender is made of the best pieces of chicken and is marinated for 48 hours. He said it is crispy and built more like a traditional Southern fried chicken. He said they do have gravy, and a number of sauces that are made fresh each day at every store. He said they put a lot into their employees with a positive culture and that their employees are the very best and are loyal to Lane's. Some even have a generational great story to share. Reed said the original store in College Station has always allowed customers to write notes on receipts or paper and attach them to the walls inside the restaurant. One note stated, "Will you marry me?" and had been at that original location for years and years. "We always wondered about that one, where it came from," Reed said. He found out years later when the Louisville Lanes opened during a team building exercise with the employees. They were going around the room and asking the new employees to share something about themselves. During the icebreaker, one of the girls said her mom and dad went to A&M and that her dad proposed to her mom on a note on the wall. So we got to meet a byproduct of the original restaurant. He said that the family feel is important, and he figures someone in Odessa Midland might have that same mindset. He said those interested in a franchise should go to their website, laneschickenfingers.com, and click the franchise button. One of the partners calls every potential franchisee back. "Not a sales force. We screen and talk to every potential who wants to go into business with us." Consortium aims to get more people into health and energy by Ruth Campbell. Aiming to get more into health informatics and technology, University of Texas Health Houston has formed a consortium that includes the University of Texas Permian Basin. Susan Fenton, associate professor and associate dean for academic and curricular affairs at UT Health Houston, D. Bradley McWilliams, School of Biomedical Informatics, said the name of the project from the Office of the National Coordinator for Health Information Technology is Workforce Development for Public Health Informatics and Technology. In Texas, it's gaining equity in training for Public Health Informatics and Technology Workforce Development Program, or GETPHIT. We have other universities that have joined us from across the state. Dr. Samuel Terezas at the University of Texas at Permian Basin is one of our consortium members that we're working with. There are 9 consortium members. In October, that will go to 10 because we're going to be adding another university. So our universities right now are Houston Tillotson University in Austin, Texas Tech University Health Science Center, UT Permian Basin, and the University of Texas Rio Grande Valley, Prairie View A&M, UT Arlington, UT El Paso, and Texas A&M International, Fenton said. The target is to train 1,900 participants. Of those, 1,400 undergraduate students are being targeted from schools like UTPB. Fenton said 500 participants are being sought as visiting professionals who will get additional training in public health informatics. Terrazas said the number of students from UTPB will be 50, and there are also students enrolled in 2 boot camps. "We've developed curriculum across 16 topic areas. What we're doing is allowing each university to integrate that public health informatics and technology curriculum into programs at their universities as is best for them. That's because we don't have a standardized undergraduate curriculum across the state of Texas, and even then it would be impossible for us to do that," Fenton said. The first boot camp was held at UTPB in 2022. The grant for the program runs until September 2025. "The boot camps are 2-week, full-day, in-person boot camps," Fenton said. She added they will have another boot camp at UTPB in summer 2024. The program is federally funded. The Office of the National Coordinator for Health Information Technology is located in the Department of Health and Human Services. "It's been a wonderful opportunity, because at UTPB, we don't have a full-on public health department, but we do have a relatively new College of Health Sciences and Human Performance. So having this curriculum has really had an impact on various departments and various programs," Terrazas said. "We've been able to use various elements on the curriculum in our athletic training program, our exercise science program, and our nursing program. We have a College of Business, and they have some health management programs that they've been using that curriculum for. We've recently added to our team a professor from the Department of Psychology. She's a health psychologist. She started integrating the curriculum and that content in her courses, Terraza said. Because the area is rural, Terraza said, having students who are prepared with specialized training and information around informatics and analytics makes them much more marketable when they enter the healthcare field. It's really had a very positive impact and has helped us to develop our own program in our health sciences and human performance as well, he added. Fenton said students in informatics don't have any problem finding jobs. One of the parts of our consortium is that students who go through either the boot camp or the training through the curriculum delivery at their institutions then become available to participate in internships, Fenton said. These are typically about 3 months long. The students receive a stipend for it, but it gives them real-world training. We've had several students who have been hired with jobs through those internships, so it's really helping to grow that workforce, she added. Terraza said it exposes students who may not have known about these workforce options. In our boot camp, we had students from nursing and from athletic training and computer science. We hope to have a wider range of disciplines in our next boot camp, but many of these students hadn't heard about it, and it really had an impact in terms of how they thought about their careers in healthcare, he said. It also was a wonderful opportunity for them to work interdisciplinary and to see how these disciplines benefited one another and how they work together, he added. Fenton said the program is open to anyone who expresses an interest. We do ask them to give us a brief 250-word essay to say why they are interested, because we want to know that they're really interested, she said. Fenton said there will be a GET-PHIT summit September 14th, bringing together consortium members. Students have had opportunities to submit posters from the work they've done, and we're also inviting our host sites and employers to be there. We're very excited about that, especially for the students. Having them be able to interact between the different institutions is a big benefit, she added.
New Advancement exec has heart for first-gen students. Starting off, Sandy Bliss thought she wanted to become a counselor, but ultimately found her call working in nonprofit and grant-funded positions. This led her to the job of Vice President of Advancement at University of Texas Permian Basin. After earning a bachelor's in psychology and a master's degree in family science from Oklahoma State University, Bliss got into counseling, but realized it would be difficult to be in the field and separate herself from those she was working with. I would have brought those problems home with me every day and found my way working with 501c3s, nonprofits, and loved it. That's what led me to start working a grant-funded position with OSU, Center for Health Services, Bliss said. That was a grant-funded and matching gift program, which also involved health-related policy change. From OSU, she went to the University of Miami as the inaugural provost fundraiser. She then went to Virginia Tech as the chief advancement officer. While I was at University of Miami, my father had a second bout with cancer, and I lost him. After I lost him, I wanted to do something to honor his military legacy, and I have friends who knew that's what I wanted to do, so somebody connected me with Virginia Tech. It was really a great opportunity for me to try to work with a military entity, Bliss said. Most of the people that are the most supportive and have the highest allegiance to the university were graduates of the Corps of Cadets, and that's what brought me to Virginia Tech. No family in Virginia, no connection other than just wanting to honor my father, Bliss said. Bliss grew up in Sand Springs, Oklahoma. She and her husband, Ron, have two children. She had traveled quite a bit in West Texas visiting donors and alumni, so she was familiar with the area before moving here. Like many UTPB students, Bliss is a first-generation college student. I love how caring and compassionate everyone that I've encountered here is. I think the biggest piece is everybody wants to make a difference. They want to do something to help the university be everything it needs to be. For the community, it has so much capacity to be even more than it is right now. I love that the majority of the people that I've worked with, they're not from this area, and they want to see it be better. And that's the same vision I have, Bliss said. Personally, she has a hard time asking for money, but working for universities, she's asking for students like her. Every little resource that you get as a first-generation student makes all the difference in the world. And for me, getting in touch with a university that understood first-generation college students and were getting better at it all the time, that's everything, Bliss said. She has a lot of goals for her new position, but the biggest one is enabling students to get to UTPB. It's one thing to get here. It's another to be able to afford to stay here. I think you could easily say, well, the tuition was so much less than it is at some larger universities. Well, if you're first generation, that's wholly unattainable for you. You may have come from a family where they expect you to contribute versus go to college. If you are put in that situation, how can we help you work past that and still achieve your dreams? Bliss said. She added that she would like to see UTPB in a position where it would help students at a greater level and give them an exciting place to be in terms of facilities and the types of programs offered. We have a really good product right now, and it can only continue to get better through the facilities that we house these programs in, and then the type of faculty and staff that we're able to attract, Bliss said. Her job at UT Permian Basin includes fundraising for scholarships, facilities, programs, faculty, staff positions, chairs, and professorships, among other things. Universities like UT Permian Basin have the ability to be something special for the community at large, whether it be through arts and sciences and how we extend ourselves out into the community. With the right programming and with the right funding, we're able to do that to a greater extent, where it doesn't create a cost for the community to be involved with the university, Bliss said. She said she has brought something from every university she served to her next position. I think the biggest piece is universities operate much differently than a regular company. I think when we have those on the outside that look at us like a company, we're not going to operate like that because we are an educational entity, and there's a lot more creativity that goes into what and how you're offering because you are offering a product and you want to make sure your customers, the students, have a really great experience, Bliss said. It doesn't matter how big the university is. Every university has the same goal to have a space where you're learning and growing. We're providing you the ability to be able to do that. But universities have another level, too. They are an important part of the community where they bring something special in healthcare, in arts, in science, she added. Young people, especially if they are first generation, are able to see a path as well. Maybe you attended something that the university offered in one of your primary grades, and eventually that becomes the university you choose to go to school at, which we hope that's what happens, Bliss said. She urged people to find a way to reach out and be part of their university. I promise you there's a way to get involved. Time, treasure, talent. However you want to get involved, we will find a way, Bliss said. There are people who might never have been to UT Permian Basin. Also, because it's so local, people might think they know what's happening. But they don't necessarily, she said. All you have to do is get involved in one thing, and then you realize, oh, wow, that wasn't as hard as I thought. I promise you, I was more scared than anyone. It is overwhelming when you don't come from anyone who can quite guide you, other than there's what you should do. So down the street doesn't make a difference. Stillwater was about an hour and 15 minutes from my house growing up, and it still felt big and scary, Bliss said. But the first step is the hardest. I think even for people who are really close and live here, having opportunities where your children can see a path, your parents can see a path, is life-changing. I'm this local kid from Oklahoma who grew up with nothing. I've lived in Miami, I've lived in Virginia. These are all things I would not have done if I would have followed the traditional path of those in my family, Bliss said. When she sees somebody close to high school age, she asks them if they are going to college, and she gives them her business card and asks them to let her know if she can help guide them. It just takes one thing to hang you up in college. I love that we're really putting some things in place here that help support the student through their entire journey. If you get stuck, we have people for you to call. You have resources that help make that transition easier for you because it is a big transition, Bliss said. UT Permian Basin President Sandra Woodley said she's happy to have Bliss on board. We are thrilled to welcome Sandy to the Falcon family. She brings years of experience in leading and executing strategic advancement efforts at the university level. Sandy will oversee all operations of the Advancement Office, including alumni relations, Woodley said. As the university begins our 50th birthday celebration, Sandy will play a vital role in garnering financial support for campus transformation, MESA building renovations, academic programs, and UT Permian Basin's athletic master plan.
SensorUp methane management platform gets $12 million. The story was written by Mella McCune. Investment dollars are finding their way to the methane detection space as efforts intensify to detect, measure, quantify, and end methane emissions. SensorUp, a software company with a comprehensive methane emissions management platform, recently received $12 million in a Series B funding round led by Climate Investment, a decarbonization investor. Evoc Innovations also participated in the funding round. SensorUp has developed the SensorUp Gas Emissions Management Solution, known as GEMS for short, a data integration platform for methane leak detection and repair, measurement reconciliation, reporting, and verification of methane emissions. SensorUp GEMS enables swift detection and mitigation of methane emissions by providing contextualized, actionable, and auditable insight to its customers. Richard Jackson, President of Operations for U.S. Onshore Resources and Carbon Management at Occidental, said in a statement provided to the Reporter Telegram, quote, "We are committed to reducing methane emissions in our operations, and our decision to use SensorUp Gas Emissions Management Solution aligns with Oxy's net zero targets and helps advance our low-carbon business objectives. Our teams will use SensorUp GEMS to help accelerate leak detection and repair while moving toward more measurement-based emissions inventories," end quote. SensorUp GEMS will enable oil and gas companies to be compliant with international standards such as the United Nations OGMP 2.0 Gold Standard, GTI Veritas Protocols, ISO/OGC Sensor Web Data Standards, and more, resulting in transparent, accurate, and factual emissions data for those companies' customers. Methane emissions reduction is essential to oil and gas companies' journey to net zero operations. Methane is a powerful greenhouse gas, second only to carbon dioxide in its overall contribution to climate change. It is responsible for about a third of current climate warming, according to the International Energy Agency. Following the fundraising, Mike Bishop, Investment Director at Climate Investment, will join SensorUp's board, and Daniel Palmer, Climate Investment's Commercialization Director, will join as an observer. ICE reports record Midland WTI contract activity. The story was written by Mella McCune. Midland-originated crude is finding its way into international markets in record numbers. Intercontinental Exchange Incorporated, a global provider of data, technology, and market infrastructure, is reporting record activity in the ICE Midland WTI contract this month, with participants using the contract to deliver physical Midland WTI barrels into Dated Brent and the rest of the Brent complex. With Midland origin WTI crude being a deliverable grade into the Brent basket, increasing numbers of customers now need to directly price and hedge Midland WTI quality crude. Reflecting this dynamic, ICE Midland WTI received a series of open interest and volume records in July, including record OI of 33,520 contracts on July 12, 2023, and a daily volume record of 32,210 contracts on July 20th. Meanwhile, more than 35 million barrels of Midland crude have switched to HOU futures from existing swap position as customers are drawn to the flexibility the contract offers in trading the prompt market, as well as margin offsets of over 90% when clearing HOU alongside ICE Brent and ICE WTI positions. Brent is used to price over three-quarters of the world's internationally traded crude oil and is the most liquid crude oil futures and options market in the world. HOU is the most liquid physically delivered Midland futures contract in the world, allowing participants with dated Brent exposure to hedge Midland deliveries with the option to take physical delivery of Midland barrels. Quote, since plans were finalized to include Midland WTI into the Brent complex, we've seen consistent growth in ICE HOU as customers use the contract to take physical delivery to two of the biggest terminals in Houston, both of which have been approved by Platts to deliver into the Brent complex, said Jeff Barbuto, head of global oil markets at ICE. Quote, ICE HOU provides transparent pricing for the vast majority of Midland WTI barrels that make it to the Houston market, while offering optionality that customers cannot access via alternative derivatives based on assessments which only capture a small part of the Houston market. End quote. The contract is seeing 5 million barrels going to delivery each month at the Magellan East Houston, MEH, and Enterprise Crude Houston, ECHO, terminals, both of which are connected to Platts-approved marine terminals to deliver Midland WTI into Brent. In addition, HOU EFPs, exchange for physicals, are trading each month as customers utilize these EFPs to offer additional flexibility to deliver barrels to other locations and delivery dates. ICE Brent futures and options OI is up 13% year over year at 4.95 million contracts with average daily volume, ADV, of approximately 1.2 million contracts, up 6% year over year. Brent options, which represent the primary crude oil options market in the world in terms of open interest and volume, continue to perform strongly with OI up 8% year over year and ADV up 11% year over year. Across ICE's global oil complex, OI stands at 12.1 million contracts, up 16% year over year. Oil is one part of ICE's extensive global commodity markets, where OI stands at a record 55.1 million contracts, up 14% year over year.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.